You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Very, very special guest on the line coming to us live from, I assume, the UK. They are one half of the Nottingham post-punk duo
Sleeve Forward Mods,
who originally came out in 2007. They've just released their 13th record, The Demise of Planet X, and we're very, very pleased to say we have Jason Williamson here to talk about said album. How are you doing, Jason?
Hello, nice to see you. Or rather, nice to talk to you, mate. Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm real stoked, man. It's going to be awesome. So you're kind of the de facto frontman of the duo, but I want to know, like, what is your compatriot Andrew Fien? What does he get up to when you guys aren't making music? You know, what is his, like, day-to-day life?
Andrew's day-to-day life is pretty much the same as mine. You know, we just sit around the house doing a bit of gardening. And, you know, the only difference is I've got a couple of kids to feed. And, you know, that's it, basically. You know, we're at a point in our lives now where we can sort of just sit back a little bit and enjoy the simpler pleasures of being a human being.
The good life, as it were.
Completely and utterly, yeah, well said.
Oh, I want to talk about politics, because that's, you know, been like pretty much like the key subject of Sleaford Mods since you guys kind of started onto the scene. And as things get darker in the UK and in a global sense, do you think that you've gotten angrier as things unravel, or are you relatively chill? Because I've seen a lot of interviews with you lately where you seem to be making peace with a lot of different aspects of the world and yourself.
Yeah, I think as you get older, you have to rein it in a little bit. There's no sense in being completely angry all of the time. And I wasn't anyway, you know, but it's sometimes the anger is more about you than it is about whatever you're aiming it at. So that became apparent, and I then started to work on that a little bit. With that in mind, there are still lots of things that annoy you, you know, and I do take to that. You know, you don't have to live your life in annoyance. You don't have to always seek out things that just do your head in. Of course you don't. That's just insane. But, you know, it just so happens that the way the Sleaford Mods vehicle travels, the fuel for that vehicle is that. And so, of course, that is still part of it.
I want to touch on the name of the record, because it's after a hypothetical planet X that's floating around in the solar system, and there's sort of a conspiracy that could crash into the planet and destroy the world. And I want to know, are you remiss that, like, the left has sort of failed to capture the political imagination of, you know, the conspiracy crowd, many of whom are looking for just answers as to why things feel so bad, and the right wing seems to have some kind of vision, but it's, you know, an awful vision.
Yeah, they seem to be the only ones that are, for want of a better word, progressing at the minute. But yeah, I think that's an interesting point, that the so-called conspiracy theorist community, who are often ridiculed, and so in some respects for good reason, but in others it's a result of feeling alienated by socialism or of a democratic presence in politics, which has kind of been hijacked by neoliberalism, and also suffocated by other events, by climate change, by whatever, you know, by this ongoing connection with capitalism, which doesn't help, you know.
You guys have a pretty neoliberal leader at the moment, Keir Starmer. Do you think there's been many positive developments under his rules, or has it been pretty, you know, kowtowing to the big fat cats of capitalism?
I don't think there's any space for socialism at the minute. So I kind of don't look at Keir Starmer in too much of a bad light. I think, yes, some of his policies, some of his approaches and some of the ways he's tried to snare the right wing vote has not been very good. But at the same time, he hasn't got a lot to play with. I don't think a lot of countries have. I can't think of one country at the minute that's got an overly socialist democratic leader. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not a massive expert, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's clear that strain of politics has been buried for the time being, and people are trying to make do with whatever they can that isn't the hard right, you know what I mean? And so I would say that Keir Starmer's Labour falls into that a little bit.
I want to start talking about the record, because it sort of came out after a period of therapy and immense introspection. As you mentioned before, you've chilled out a bit. Coincidentally, this album has many more collaborators, I think, than any other project that you guys have put out. Do you think that with your improving mental health, you feel more comfortable allowing other artists to join in on your artistry?
I think, yeah, you know, again, it's a good point. It's that my work on myself has allowed my part in Sleaford Mods to grow, you know, and if I hadn't have done that, maybe it would have imploded, who knows. But yes, I think part of that is branching out and building bridges and communicating with other people and having the confidence to sort of say, okay, I can't do this part, but I know somebody that can. A lot of these collaborations on the album are because I couldn't sing the part that I'd written, so we needed to drag someone else in. And that's obviously not being detrimental to their abilities, their skill set, and who they are as performers. First and foremost, it has to work, you know. We don't want personalities on a record. We want something that works. Mm. And so that's yes, I would say that even in that, even me explaining it that way is a result of being successful in learning more about myself, you know.
And not only have you got more collaborators on here, but you said before you've expanded your own presence within the band, and that includes some of the production stuff, because from what I've read in one of your interviews, you mentioned that you've been sort of driving a little bit more of the production on this project than you have in the past.
Both of us have always produced, but Andrew also engineers. It's important that he does, because I like the way he mixes stuff, and also you can't avoid the engineering side of things if you're producing as well. You know, are that way inclined, and Andrew is, you know, he's got a large skill set when it comes to, you know, recording techniques, but also as a musician as well, he's kind of, you know, multi-talented almost. So it's like, but it occurred to me that he was spending a lot of time just engineering in the actual session. Take that away, bring someone else in, which we do anyway, get them to engineer, and then me and him can just concentrate on the frilly bits, you know what I mean?
He is a very, very good mixer. I mean, the beat on the track Tory Kong, which came out a few years ago, makes me feel so uncomfortable. It makes me feel like, oh God, what is going on?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
You've got a New Zealand collaborator on this album. Aldous Harding, a good friend of yours, shows up on the track Elitist Goat. And that's just really awesome to see her come onto this project. Do you know much about New Zealand music? Have you listened to much?
No, not a lot at all, I'll be honest, you know. But I'm a big fan of Aldous Harding. Have been for about 6 years, you know, and we're friends, so to speak. Yeah, it was only a matter of time, I think. I really, you know, I collaborated, or rather did some harmony singing on one of her tracks, Leathery Whip from Warm Chris, the last album. And, you know, I wanted to repay that compliment. But yeah, it was just getting something that was right, really.
Another collaborator I really, really enjoyed in this project was Gwendolyn Christie, very famous actor, who has a very impassioned, rage-filled verse on the opener, which really blew me away. She really embodies, I think, a lot of the anger that a lot of us feel looking at the news, the state of the world, how it makes us feel. Did you sort of give her any coaching when she came into the studio, or was that mostly her on that track?
I sent the piece that I wanted her to do, and then sent a voice note of me doing it, and sort of said, you know, I kind of hear this on the song. It took about 2 years to write that song, and she was the last link on it, really. So, yeah, she totally took what I'd sent her. She nailed it in about 20 minutes. She did a low version and a high version, and then obviously the laugh at the start of the song is hers as well. And she kept, throughout the conversation afterwards, as we were talking, she kept laughing. I thought, that's just fantastic. We need that in there as well. So that became the intro to the tune.
Another track I really enjoyed on this thing, the track Double Diamond, which is fascinating for a bunch of different reasons, because it sort of uses the classic guitar line from Smoke on the Water, like almost. It used maybe the first
half. Yeah, a lot of people have said that, actually.
And on the track, it sounds like you're taking pot shots at a few different people, like poses, Nepo babies, and also drug dealers who are too egotistical to actually do their job and drop off the goods, even though that's what they're supposed to do. That's why they're there. What do you think you're railing about on that track?
The track is basically, well, it was an old Sleaford Mods song that I'd written before Andrew came on board. And we used the sample from Jeff Beck's album Truth from the song, What was it? I forgot what the. Oh, you know, you always forget these things, you know, when you have an interview and just does your head in. But anyway, yeah, there was this particular song on the album, and I just sampled a little bit from that, and then, you know, did the vocal on top. So, but our manager was like, "You've got to re-record that song. It's just too good." And so that's what we did, really. But it talks about, you know, going to work, of minimum wage jobs, of the psychology that exists around that after you've done it for years and years.
I did a little bit of reading on your Wikipedia, and I found out that you used to work at a chicken plant somewhere in England.
Yes.
And I wonder, is the song Chicken Town, was that, like, you know, on rotation when you were working at that farm? When you were
No, absolutely not. No,
oh, damn.
I'm not really a John Cooper Clark sort of obsessive, although he is very good, obviously. But no, it wasn't something that I was listening to.
There's one final track I wanted to quickly touch on, is the track Bad Santa, where you have a really silly funny line. I watch reels like hamsters love wheels. So good, yeah. Man. I wonder what comes up on your algorithm when you're having a bit of a scroll.
Oh, lots of things. I mean, at the minute, what's coming up, just some bizarre video taken on an aeroplane. I've got Donald Trump, Liam Gallagher, Slash from Guns N' Roses, etc., you know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, whatever, you know. But it is a source of inspiration, without a doubt, I think.
It's hard to stay away from it, eh? It's very enrapturing. It's very entrapping, also.
Yeah, it is. And also, if your job kind of relies on it as well, it's hard to step away from it, you know.
Well, this is your 13th studio album, which is, you know, really, really, really awesome to have that sort of legacy. You guys have been operating for nearly 2 decades. Yeah. Have you got any ideas of where the 14th might go? Are you going to go more in a vulnerable direction, like you might have done on the track Gina Was, for instance?
Yeah, probably. I don't know, you know. I think that's what's exciting about it at the minute. I just don't know. I think we won't leave it as long next time and probably start recording it next year, but I'll see what happens, you know. I'll see how this year falls. We've got quite a busy year, and that's where the ideas start to come. I think I'm a big believer in having very little time to do whatever, and that will usually garners quite interesting results.
Limitations create, yeah, gems.
I think so, yeah. The limitations would be with us, you know, lack of time, or just, you know, trying to write stuff in between gigs and tours. I think that'd be quite interesting. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, speaking of tours, you're playing a kind of mini tour in New Zealand. You're playing Wellington and Auckland in April on the 23rd and 25th, respectively. Have you got much on aside from the tour while you're here? You know, going to do any sightseeing around Aotearoa, New Zealand?
Don't know, you know. See what happens, innit? See how you feel. I think it's at the end of touring in Australia, so we'll be flying over and we'll be, I imagine, quite tired, but at the same time, invigorated. You know, we love your country, so we'll see what happens.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'm very, very happy to see you come over, man. My oldest brother, who lives in Wellington, will be going to see you once more. He went last time you were here, and he said he loved it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Look forward.
Thank you for coming on the program today. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts, words, opinions, considerations for our lovely listeners out there?
If you've not heard the album already, it's called The Demise of Planet X. Please have a listen. Buy it, stream it, or come along and see us in Wellington or in Auckland in April, I think it is.
Yep.
Let's have a look. Is
23rd and 25th, Wellington, Auckland.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, come along if you're not doing anything, you know what I mean?
All right, thank you so much.
Take care.
And that was my kōrero with Jason Williamson from Sleaford Mods. We talked about their latest record, The Demise of Planet X, their 13th album in less than 20 years, basically 19 years, which is pretty bonkers output there. Love me some Sleaford Mods. And you can find that album wherever you find your music. You can also find it on vinyl at different places. I'm sure Relix will have it in stock. And if not, go ask them to order it for you, my dear boy. Anyway, at 10 o'clock, we do have Bex Pemberton from Teal Sky coming through to talk about their latest track, Faster Cluck, which is also out wherever you find your tunes. You probably can't buy it at Relix yet, though. I don't think it's on vinyl. It literally just came out. So that's cool. That's going to happen very, very shortly. We're going to play the track Double Diamond from the new Sleaford Mods album. The track that I mentioned to Jason before kind of has a smoke on the water type riff
So yeah, let's hear it. Here is Sleaford Mods with Double Diamond. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked. I'll see you at 10 for that Teal Sky Corridor. Take care.
You know they come, you know they come and then they go. You know they come, you know they come and then they go. You know they come, you know they come and then they go. You know they come, you know they come and then they go.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.